readers remain hungry for cookbooks. Featuring everything from grilled meats to roasted vegetables, the print and digital servings from publishers large and small feed a healthy appetite among home cooks and librarians. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Andrew Albany, senior writer of Publishers Weekly, joins me every Friday for a quick snack of hot news from the book publishing world. Welcome back, Andrew.
Greetings, Chris.
So yeah, we've been just, you know, sort of whetting the appetite here to keep the metaphors going. And you know, definitely in the wintertime, a good place to be is in the warm kitchen. And in Monday's edition of PW, that's where you're going to be.
That's right. You know, for our foodies out there, and I know that includes both you and me, Chris, we have our spring cookbook roundup. Our cookbook editor, Mark Rotella, has a delicious menu to continue the metaphor, the turns of phrase here, should I say, of forthcoming books. You know, but since we're all here right now, I'll whet your appetite. Some of the, for the meat eaters and the grill masters out there, my favorite book in this batch is Steve Raiklin. He has a new book coming out called Man-Made Meals, and it's great. I love Raiklin's grilling show on PBS, even though I live in an apartment and don't own a grill. I do get to grill a little bit when I go out to my in-laws in New Jersey, but this is a great one, and you should be looking forward to that if you enjoy meats on the grill. For the vegetarians out there, you have Rose Schulman's Simple Art of Vegetarian Cooking. And even for someone like me who will eat just about anything that doesn't eat me first, these are vegetarian recipes that look absolutely delicious. But on a larger note, cookbooks, I think, is a really interesting area of publishing worth exploring, and I think readers will find them when they look through there. Through this piece. And that's because cookbook sales remain red hot. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because in this wired age, you can Google a recipe at will or have one emailed to you or see someone do something on Facebook. And yet cookbooks remain more popular than ever. And they're also very popular in ebooks format. And you've got all kinds of multimedia that is coming out with them, etc. But the print ebook just continues to chug along. And I think it shows you that format really does matter. People do like to have cookbooks that have demonstrations in them on their digital readers. But also, these books as beautiful objects really do still matter. And notably, cookbooks also do well in libraries, which is also part of the piece coming up in Monday's issue. Brian Kenny, who's the director of the White Plains Public Library and a PW contributing editor, notes that his cookbook collection circulates quite a bit. And even the larger, illustrated, more beautiful, ornate cookbooks also circulate well. And he believes that his customers are using the library to check out these books, test a recipe or two, and then they buy them because they love them, they want to have them. So if you're looking forward to summer grilling and a warm spring, this will get you looking ahead. You can check out Monday's issue for our spring cookbooks.
Right, and if the listeners hear any rumbling on the line, that's not a problem with their set. It's just you and me getting hungry. Well, one of the things we do look forward to in the spring, besides all the fresh vegetables and fruits, is, of course, more with the apple trial. Speaking of fruits and vegetables, and you're looking forward to that particular piece of the trial, the damages part of it all. And we learned this week about some of the details on the amounts of damages that we might see in this case.
Yeah, that's right. To keep the puns rolling here, we're hitting a really meaty stage of the Apple litigation's next phase. That's the consumer class action trial and the plaintiff states. Now, recently, this week, they just entered the summary judgment filing stage of this. And the plaintiffs, which is the consumer class action and the states, together put forth an estimate of between $700 and $840 million in damages should be paid to consumers. Now, some of our listeners may recall that's actually down from an earlier estimate that put the damage total at over $924 million to be exact. And that's because the plaintiff's experts in this case, which is Stanford economist Roger Noel, and you can look him up on PW's website. We have many articles on the formula that he's done there. Well, Professor Noel actually corrected an issue with the formula that he did to arrive at that earlier estimate of $924 million. Actually, it was $308 million that was tripled, but we'll get to that. Now, I've seen a lot of commentary out there that, you know, maybe we shouldn't be paying attention to the stuff at this stage, and that the different estimates that are flying around mean that the experts don't really know what the damages are. That's wrong. That's just not true. And this is all worth paying attention to. And the experts certainly do know what the damages are. And tweaks notwithstanding to formulas here or there, the damages trial is going to be based entirely on the expert testimony that we're talking about right now. That is all that's going to be heard in the trial. It's going to be about a two-day trial at most, because Apple's liability, of course, has already been established during the DOJ trial that finished up last summer. So however the experts shake out and however this latest round of legal wrangling shake out, we know that the judge is going to be awarding damages based on what is submitted in these most recent filings. And on the low end, Apple's witnesses say that's going to be around $700 million, and the plaintiffs say it should be around $840 million. Now, what I was alluding to before, I'll go back and say that, you know, we're talking about numbers. When we say $140 million, we're talking about figures that are going to be trebled by the court. So in terms of actual sales, the formulas are finding that consumers were actually bilked out of somewhere between $230 and $280 million. But after that number is decided on, the judge can triple that amount. That's called trebling, and so that's how we get to between $700 and $840 million. So what does it all mean for observers now? Well, for one thing, I think it means that the publishers made very smart deals and very sweet deals. And all the settling publishers paid $166 million in damages. And that could have been, you know, much closer to a billion if they had gone to trial and lost as Apple did. So, and also most of those are going to be issued as credits in the coming days and should start flowing into your account shortly if they haven't already, and back into publishing coffers. So good deal for the publishers to make those settlements. And in addition, if Apple is assessed with a huge damage award and has to pump another maybe $800 million into those accounts, think of what that means to publishers. You know, one thing we don't know is how whatever Apple money is collected is going to be distributed. So we're not necessarily sure that's going to be pumped back into books, and maybe that's going to go into consumers' accounts and they can spend it on whatever. But certainly, I think publishers should be licking their chops over the idea of Apple pumping $100 million in the consumers' pockets, especially if that money is going to be funneled back into books. So all of this, of course, assumes that Apple doesn't win its appeal. That's rolling through the courts as well. And suffice it to say that, you know, we're going to be paying attention to this for a long, long time.
Right, indeed. And when we talk about numbers like $800 million, we're talking about a company that's sitting on billions of dollars in cash. So I guess that adds some perspective to all of this. And I guess the question is, so from a timeline perspective, what's next?
Yeah, things are going to start moving really quickly now. So opposition briefs in the summary judgment phase are due February 21st. Replies to those briefs are due March 7th. There's another couple hearings that are set up then on some other issues. But, you know, things are really about to heat up again for Apple, and we're about to head back into court. So, like I said, I know some people are saying, well, you know, it's not really, you don't need to pay attention to the details here. But I have to say, the most interesting days in the Apple litigation are about to come. So mark my words, I think you want to be paying attention here, because we're either going to see a massive rebuke of the whole trial and a total exoneration of publishers, perhaps, or we're going to see a windfall of money come our way. So either way, I think it's worth watching. And W, we're going to be covering every step.
All right. Well, another satisfying and tasty report from Andrew Albanese, senior writer of Publishers Weekly. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow us on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.